Here's your Forbes daily briefing for Thursday, May 2nd. Today on Forbes, what rescheduling marijuana means for the cannabis industry. In a historic move, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will end its ban on cannabis by reclassifying it as a less dangerous drug. According to the Associated Press, the DEA has proposed moving marijuana from its current status as a Schedule 1 narcotic alongside heroin and LSD, to Schedule 3, which includes drugs such as ketamine, Tylenol with codeine, anabolic steroids, and opioid use disorder medication, buprenorphine. The move marks the most significant change in marijuana reform since pot was outlawed by the Controlled Substances Act in 1970. The DEA's recommendation has been hotly anticipated for many months. In October 2022, President Biden asked the Department of Health and Human Services and the Attorney General to review, quote, expeditiously, how marijuana is scheduled under federal law. By August 2023, HHS completed its review, concluding that cannabis has some legitimate medical benefits, and sent its recommendation to the DEA, asking the agency to reclassify marijuana as a Schedule 3 drug. Biden also addressed the subject in his State of the Union address in March, declaring that, quote, no one should be jailed for using or possessing marijuana. The proposal is not yet final, as it must first clear the White House Office of Management and Budget and undergo a public comment period. The news that the Biden administration would reclassify marijuana immediately electrified the $28 billion cannabis industry, composed of 38 states that have some form of regulated marijuana sales, with 24 states allowing sales to people 21 and older. Some pot stocks were up 25% within hours of the AP report. David Culver, Vice President of Industry Trade and Lobbying Organization, U.S. Cannabis Council, says, quote, it goes without saying that this is the most significant cannabis reform in modern history and sets us on the clear path to federal legalization. The most profound impact the DEA's historic policy change would have on licensed cannabis companies would be on taxes. The move from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 means that cannabis companies will not have to file under U.S. Code 280E, the punitive tax measure reserved for drug traffickers that bans most deductions. The effective tax rate for most cannabis companies is around 80% of gross revenue. Culver says, quote, removing the 280E burden is enough for the industry to have a turning point moment and succeed financially. He also believes that ending the ban on marijuana at the federal level will open things up for greater reform. He adds, quote, we won't be sitting next to heroin anymore, so lawmakers will have an easier time working on additional cannabis reforms. Josh Schiller, an attorney and partner at Boies Schiller Flexner, says the move to Schedule 3 is a step in the right direction, but not enough. Schiller and David Boies are suing Attorney General Merrick Garland on behalf of several cannabis companies in Massachusetts to challenge the federal prohibition of marijuana and the government's ability to interfere with state-regulated cannabis programs. Schiller says, quote, this will not provide the relief our lawsuit seeks, but it is the clearest statement that government no longer has a policy to eradicate marijuana across the U.S. The immediate effect, Schiller adds, will be that cannabis companies will no longer be, quote, treated as criminal enterprises for tax purposes. The rescheduling of cannabis, however, provides no legal fix to the banking issues that have long plagued the industry, nor will it allow U.S.-based cannabis companies to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. And the move to Schedule 3 still leaves plenty of unanswered questions, including whether state-licensed cannabis companies have to stop selling products until the U.S. Food and Drug Administration rules on approvals. Schiller says, quote, there is a question as to whether recreational stores can continue to exist, or whether they need to obtain some form of licensing to comply with whatever regulations are forthcoming. Schiller and Boies advocate for no federal oversight over state-licensed cannabis companies, while Schedule 3 requires more federal oversight. Andrew Friedman, the executive director of the Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit Coalition for Cannabis Policy, Education, and Regulation, cautions people not to think the DEA is legalizing weed. He says, quote, this has little to no actual impact to the current criminal status of the cannabis industry, or the criminality of using it as a consumer. In other words, the current dispensary model that has rolled out across America state by state is still unlawful under federal law and will require more policy changes. For full coverage, check out Will Yakowitz's piece on Forbes.com. This is Kieran Meadows from Forbes. Thanks for tuning in.